You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, are the sounds of summer. You know, those are the Beach Boys, and we are sure enough in June, and we've got a fun summer coming your way here on TPC. Welcome to our live broadcast this Saturday evening, June the 5th. I'm James Edwards. He's Keith Alexander. And here we go, a week after Memorial Day. And it was a particularly mild Memorial Day, temperature-wise. It's about 20 degrees cooler here across the South than it normally is. It's in the 70s right now in June. And, of course, Virginia Abernathy called this last year. We've been talking about this for a year or two. It's a very predictable solar or sunspot cycle, which is entering into a period of global cooling. So this whole global warming hoax, they don't use the term global warming as much anymore. It's quietly been renamed to climate change because of this, in case you're wondering. And it's supposed to be in the upper 70s all next week. Normally, by this time of year, it's in the 90s, upper 90s, 100 and 100% humidity. But this all is due to the sunspot cycle. We have talked about that. We're right. They're wrong. Once again, Keith Alexander, how are you tonight? Great to be back, and great to be back with you.
It's great to be back with you. Everything is great. And that was music from the old California of the 50s and the 60s, the early 60s at least, back when California was considered the garden spot of the world and really lived up to that billing. Of course, they're running on the fumes of all of that reputation now. California is now going to hell in a handbasket, unfortunately.
And they can't. They're about to have power outages. They're in a drought. Obviously, that's the least of their the natural
people
problems.
Living on the street and defecating on the streets and stuff like this. This is not the Beach Boys, California anymore.
Well, the natural crises that they're facing, of course, fall far short of the third world crisis that they have imported in. So a cacophony of problems.
Their real problems are all man-made.
Well, listen, what we've got coming your way tonight, ladies and gentlemen, very special show coming up in the second and third hours this evening. We're going to go to Pensacola, Florida, live from Pensacola, where our good friend Eddie the Bombardier Miller will be reporting live from a reunion of the survivors of the USS Liberty. It was on this week in 1967, June 8th, 1967, to be exact, that the USS Liberty was attacked, unprovoked, by Israel. And it's going to be a night during which you will hear directly from the men who were there on that fateful day in the Mediterranean Sea. Again, Eddie, live on location in Pensacola at this gathering of the survivors of the USS Liberty. And that's going to be a very special and unique show. That is going to take over the show in the second and third hours tonight. First hour, Keith and I are covering all the news that is news, the most interesting news of the week. We'll break it down and offer our opinions.
You know, people have no idea how close we came to nuclear war because of the USS Liberty. If that ship had sunk,
they did their damnedest.
And there was a Russian submarine in the area, and if they'd seen that go down, and if there had been an attack on Cairo, which is what they were 3 minutes away from, a nuclear attack on Cairo, or even a normal attack, you know, a non-nuclear attack on Cairo, they were going to respond by a nuclear attack on the Iron Dome in Jerusalem. So, you know, just imagine, you know, talking about letting loose the dogs of war, that ill-advised attack almost put us to the very brink of Armageddon. And then, who did they call on? Ghostbusters to try to put the lid on this whole episode and let obscure the fact that Jerusalem attacked a U.S. boat, U.S. ship, naval ship? None other than John McCain's father, Admiral John McCain. Again, and when you need dirty tricks done for Israel, always call him McCain.
Well, you know, I don't want to speculate too much. I mean, of course, all of us have heard the story. We actually had a very fantastic show with three survivors of the Liberty many years ago. Phil Turney, Gary Brummett, and Ron Kukol appeared on a June program for the anniversary. Gosh, that had to be back in 2008, 2009. It was a while back. So we're very excited to be to have
Eddie
down
there. Time flies, doesn't it?
It sure does. It seems like yesterday. But the whole thing was, of course, that Israel didn't know what kind of a ship it was. They thought it might have been an Egyptian ship, but because they couldn't identify it, they just decided to blow it up. Now,
if you believe that, then get ready for the tooth fairy.
Never mind the fact that it was a research vessel and not a gunboat, but I guess they couldn't tell that either. So anyway,
it was monitoring. It was basically a ship that kept track of messages, you know, for the combatants on both sides. And apparently the Israeli armed forces didn't want what they were doing and saying monitored. So that's why they
Yeah, that's right. I said research vessel. It was a communications vessel. But anyway, it was not a warship at all and in any shape, form, or fashion. Well, anyway.
No threat at all to militarily.
We'll let the people who were actually there tell us exactly what happened. But with regards to war, and last week was Memorial Day, I've just got to say, I didn't let it trigger me last week, but, you know, God help me. I got sucked in seeing this whole they died for our freedoms type of thing. No, they didn't. They didn't. The United States military has not engaged in a single justifiable conflict since the Mexican-American War of 1846. So much wasted life and all of these other unnecessary wars since then. The Mexican-American War of 1846 to 1848 and the battles against the Indians in the late 1800s, to be sure, were the last proper allocation of American troops that have ever been deployed. Memorial Day, of course, heavily associated with the World Wars, which were two of the greatest tragedies in all of history. Both sides lost those wars in catastrophic fashion.
And they were both provoked and instigated by Jewish power and influence.
The best and most fit of mankind were decimated in those wars, and it created a vacuum that we still suffer from today that has been filled by the weak, the timid, and the apologetic. In reality, and this is the truth, a grand total of zero Americans have died for, quote-unquote, our freedom since World War I, including World War I and beyond. Now, don't misunderstand me. It doesn't diminish, Keith, the valor and gallantry. I wouldn't have wanted to get off one of those boats storming Normandy. It took a lot of courage to get to go there, but American soldiers have been tragically sacrificed for decades by a ruling elite who could not have cared less about them.
And the same for the British.
And, you know, here's the truth. Another truth, if you want it real quick before break, the Confederates. The Confederates were the last American soldiers who died while fighting for freedom on this continent or for anyone on this continent, anywhere here, there, or elsewhere. We'll be right back.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay. Abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
Mm-hmm. As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Oh, what a great song, Keith. What do you think, buddy? Was California better off in 1963 when Jan and Dean were walking the beat, or do you think they're better off today?
Obviously back then. It was a golden age, a golden time in American history, and Jan and Dean's Surf City is, I think, the best surf song ever, written by Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, and Brian Wilson's father was the manager, and he got so mad at Brian Wilson for dealing that off to his buddies, Jan and Dean, to do when it would have obviously been the quintessential beach surf song played by the quintessential surf band if it had been the Beach Boys. But I don't think anybody could have done it as well as Jan and Dean did.
Well, I tell you, it's getting me in the mood for this summer. We just passed Yankee Memorial Day. Let's not forget the Confederates were the last American soldiers who died fighting for freedom. And what else before we get into the news of the week? Oh, yeah. Had the opportunity to slip down to Texas last week, met with some great friends and supporters, and Lacey Lynn put on a dinner for my wife and I, and we just had a great time. So anybody who was down there for that meeting in Texas, want to say hello, and thanks again for the hospitality. And Texas is a long haul. I'll tell you, the South is a big nation. I mean, here we are in the Mid-South, and just to get to where I was in Weatherford, Texas, was a 10-hour drive.
Well, you know,
and
I didn't
nearly start in Virginia.
Memphis is 440 miles from Knoxville, Tennessee. It's about the same distance to Dallas. And then from Dallas, I mean, you've got more of Texas after Dallas if you go all the way to New Mexico than you do before, you know, getting to Dallas. So it's just, it's an immense state. West Texas is really immense, and it is filled with petroleum resources. If we could only use that the way was done in the Trump administration. One big success of the Trump administration was Rick Perry's running the Department of Energy. He may not be the smartest or the sharpest knife in the drawer in a lot of ways, But with that experience as being the governor of Texas, he did know about the petroleum industry. And for the first time, we achieved what we've been talking about doing since the 70s, which was becoming not only energy independent, but we became, I think, the number one exporter of petroleum products. Now, I'm glad we're not exporting that petroleum anymore. We need to keep it for the use of Americans. But just think of that. When you unleash the power of America's economy, it's incredible. But right now we've got an administration that is trying to hamstring everything that we're doing economically, and they're doing a great job of it. We're now paying almost $4, $5 a gallon for gasoline in some parts of this nation, and it is ridiculous. Meanwhile, you were talking earlier about our enemies, our military enemies. They're just sitting back and laughing at us now. They said we couldn't do anything more to debilitate the American armed forces than the Americans are doing themselves. We're not really projecting a lot of fear on our enemies in the world militarily, if we had any legitimate ones, by the way, which I don't think we do, except for possibly China, with our armed forces in high heels today.
Well, true words spoken there by Keith Alexander. Want to say again, good food, good fellowship, and a growing network of activists down in Texas. It was a great pleasure to be able to spend some time with you all last week.
There's some really good people still in Texas. You know, the California of today is Texas.
Well, and a lot of people from California, including major corporations like Oracle, are moving down to Texas because Texas is a no-income class state. They'll turn Texas blue.
Yeah, but just check your politics at the door if you come from California.
Well, yeah, I don't think that's the way it works, of course. And then they are basically colonizing Texas, as has already happened to Atlanta.
And then they'll wonder why it's turned into California.
Yep. The people are the ones who make a place good or bad. That's for sure. Well, not everybody in Texas is good, unfortunately. I saw some floozy who was giving a speech at her high school graduation, and she had an approved speech that was signed off on by the faculty. But then when she got up there, she completely tossed it and used the opportunity to grandstand about how evil Texas was for placing more stringent restrictions on abortion. And she was saying, how dare you tell me what my reproductive rights are. Well, here's the thing. She already has the freedom to choose whether or not she's going to engage in promiscuous sex, which will lead to an unwanted pregnancy. She has that freedom. If she chooses to exercise that freedom recklessly, it doesn't give her the right to murder her child, which is, of course, what abortion is. It is the murder of your own child. And this whole thing about reproductive rights, I mean, that's Orwellian to begin with. I think murdering what would be your child is the exact opposite of reproduction, but they're calling the murdering of children reproductive rights. That's interesting. But Hillary Clinton and the entire global media, Keith, lauding this girl who looked like David Hogg in drag for getting up there and grandstanding, saying how courageous she was. No, Keith. Keith, there's no courage when you hop in an inner tube and float along with the tide. It takes some courage to swim against the tide, but doing parroting and reciting what academia and government and the media tell you is virtuous, that takes no courage at all to go along with
she
the flow.
She is Texas's answer to Greta Thunberg.
Well, anyway, that was taking place in Texas at the same time that I was down there, nearly the same time. I'll tell you, there's some good news, though, going on as well. We were talking about this last week, some concrete examples of good news or positive trends. We talked about it last week with Kevin McDonald and Jared Taylor. Paul Gozer, who was working on this stillborn America First Congressional Committee.
Congressman, not a senator, but a congressman from Arizona.
That
right?
is correct. And he, along with Marjorie Taylor Greene, were working on this. I believe they called it the America First Congressional Committee, which was going to stand up and defend the rights of Anglo-Saxon or Anglo-Saxon traditions. He's come up with a new one, and he's going to present a one-paragraph piece of legislation that would seek to outlaw or make illegal affirmative action. Now, I doubt that that's going to go very far, considering the Democrats have control.
Somebody needs to say it.
But at least there's murmurings now from a sitting congressman that you never would have heard before. I mean, this is fantastic.
Well, look, this next election is put up or shut up time for real conservatives in America. It's time for us to run people in the Republican primaries that will be the nucleus of the Republican version of the squad. people like Gosar and Marjorie Taylor. Was it Marjorie or Marilyn Taylor Greene? I don't forget which one. But anyway, people like that that are on the right wing of the Republican Party, we need to get those people into Congress, into elected office, so we can have a voice in Congress and a seat at the table of lawmaking. Just like the far left has got AOC and Ilhan Omar and Taliba Tashin or whatever her name is, all of these people on the far left, we need to get some people that represent true conservatism into the Republican Party. We do not need more Kevin McCarthy's or Mitch McConnell's or John McCain's or Mitt Romney's in there. We do not need those people in that are just basically Chamber of Commerce Republicans that want to do nothing for the white working class and lower middle class base of the Republican Party.
One other piece of news that we picked up on this week, it looks as though Joe Biden will be having his first summit with Vladimir Putin. And Vladimir Putin, according to reports, of course, is supposedly going to lecture Biden on the human rights violations that his administration has put on the Capitol Hill protesters or the Capitol protesters.
Well, let me tell you, that's another great opportunity. If we really want to get press coverage for our viewpoint, like the viewpoint on January the 6th, we need to use foreign news media, like the Russians, like people in other parts, like the Hungarians, like the Poles, and get that word out throughout the world that we can't crack the mainstream media in America, but we can do it overseas.
We'll be right back. Stay tuned, everybody.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Former President Trump is set to deliver his first speech in months in North Carolina. Trump is a keynote speaker for the state's annual Republican convention, and he's predicting a packed house. As far as what we can expect to hear from the former president, Michael Whatley is the head of the North Carolina Republican Party.
You're going to see vintage Donald Trump here tonight, and he's going to be able to lay out the differences between his vision for America, the America First agenda, and what we're seeing out of Washington under President Biden right now.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. A federal judge is striking down California's ban on assault weapons. U.S. District Judge Roger Benitez of San Diego ruling that the assault weapons ban deprives Californians of owning weapons commonly allowed in other states. California's attorney general has vowed to appeal the decision. USA Radio News.
Billy Gerard here for Ocean Salmon. The new year is on its way and you're making those resolutions. One of yours this year to eat better. And you know what? Salmon should be a part of that. And the best salmon is available delivered to you from our friends at OceanSalmon.com. Chilean farm-raised, sustainably raised in the cold Chilean waters. You know, it's one thing to make a commitment to eat better. The next step in that is knowing where your salmon comes from. The very best salmon comes from Chile, and that is OceanSalmon.com. Go right now. OceanSalmon.com. Use promo code ROCKSTAR15. You will get an additional pound of salmon, 15% off, and free shipping. Ocean Salmon. OceanSalmon. OceanSalmon.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR15. Free shipping. An additional pound. Oh my goodness. And 15% off. OceanSalmon.com. OceanSalmon.com. That's OceanSalmon.com. Promo code ROCKSTAR15. Hurry. Supplies are limited.
President Biden is rejecting the latest Republican proposal on the infrastructure bill. Biden saying on Friday the GOP proposal doesn't meet his objectives to grow the economy, tackle the climate crisis, and create new jobs. The two sides will continue negotiations on Monday. It's shaping up to be an unusually deadly year for some of Florida's most beloved animals.
Manatee deaths in Florida this year could reach an all-time high. As of May 28th, the Florida Wildlife Conservation Commission recorded 761 manatee deaths. That's not too far from the record 804 set 3 years ago. Red tide, wastewater contamination, and algae blooms are killing the seagrass manatees rely on for food. Manatees were an endangered species until 2017 when their status improved to a threatened species. A Florida Atlantic University marine biologist tells NBC News this year's death toll could warrant a return to endangered status. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
The love of my life, she left me one day. I cried when she said, I don't feel the same way.
It's Keith Dime, Keith's dance floor here, this segment. He's slowing it down a little bit with a little ballad there.
That's another Beach Boys song that wasn't a big hit, but it shows what the Beatles meant when they said that the Beach Boys had the best harmonizing in all of rock. This is Brian Wilson's influence. He was very impressed with a group from the 50s called the Four Freshmen, and all of the harmonies that you hear in Beach Boys records are based on Four Freshmen harmonizing from songs they did in the 50s. And Brian Wilson is really the musical genius behind the Beach Boys. Of course, Carl Wilson, I think, was the primary lead on that particular harmony. And he had a really good group of harmonizers. And that's what the Beach Boys were known for among people in the know in the rock music industry at the time.
All right, so here's another thing that's been in the news as we intersperse our political commentary with the backgrounds of 1960s beach music, which it is that time of year, is it not? Don't forget, speaking of beaches, we're going to Pensacola for the rest of the show after this, our first hour. Eddie the Bombardier Miller is going to be reporting on scene.
Eddie is our version of Frankie Avalon.
Yeah, I tell you, Eddie gets the infield assignments, and he's going to be down there playing blanket bingo. But we're going to know. We're going to be talking with survivors of the crew of the USS Liberty. So we will a very serious tone the show will take as we transition into the latter half of the show. But
I really wonder what's happening down there at Pensacola Air Force Base, which is near where they are, and with today's new Air Force, woke Air Force. I wonder what they think about the reunion of all the Liberty, USS Liberty survivors down there. They probably are ignoring it as best they can, and if they have to comment on it, I'm really waiting to hear what type of comments they have to make.
Well, I would like a comment about this, something that I have been hearing about quite a bit this week, something that was heretofore and not known even by yours truly, and I consider myself to be pretty well plugged in, historically speaking, and with regards to current events as well. And of all the alleged atrocities that have taken place or committed allegedly by whites, I, before the last week or two, had never heard of this supposed Tulsa massacre of 1921. Keith, you said you had heard of it before. Obviously, it wasn't one of the go-tos in the so-called civil rights era, but of course, it would have predated that. But it didn't get a lot of play, like the Birmingham church bombing or anything like that, which leads me to believe that it's probably completely fabricated or at least entirely exaggerated. But what can you give us? What are they saying about it? What really happened? What's your understanding? The 100-year anniversary of this supposedly watershed moment in race relations in America.
Well, it meets the narrative needs of the left now because they're looking for massive numbers of black bodies that they can point to convince black Americans that white people are and have been for all time killing them indiscriminately in large numbers. Of course, Emmett Till doesn't really do that for him. He's one person. But now they are focusing on this Tulsa so-called race riot. Well, back in the day when it was actually happening, the news reports were 35 dead. I think it was 26 blacks and 9 whites. Now the number of blacks has grown to 300 and it's mushrooming every day. And they have ridiculous claims like there were airplanes, biplanes, dropping Molotov cocktail bombs on black buildings and black people. Look, these were planes like Curtis Jennings that were fabric and wood. You go up there and start trying to light Molotov cocktails, you're going to bring down your own airplane in a
all right.
That's so ridiculous. But let me just tell you what was actually behind all this. There was a young girl, 17, an orphan, who worked as an elevator operator in the so-called Drexel building, which was a high-rise for the time, probably about 10-story office building in downtown Tulsa. Well, there's a black guy who went by the colorful name of Diamond Dick. His name was Dick Rowland, and he, according to witnesses, was looking suspiciously back and forth about in the vicinity of this particular elevator, waiting for an opportunity to get on the elevator when only he and the elevator operator would be there. According to the elevator operator, he attacked her. She had scratches on her face. She had a torn blouse. And she started screaming for help. And a clerk at one of the businesses around there heard her, came to her rescue. Diamond Dick fled the scene. Both the clerk and the elevator operator identified him as the culprit in a police lineup. He was in the jail at Tulsa. Some black people that decided that they were going to nip any lynching in the bud showed up at the jail demanding that this guy be released to them. The sheriff said, no, I'm not doing that, and no, there is not going to be a lynching. Don't worry about that. Then the blacks showed up again armed, and when the word of that got around to the rest of the town, and particularly the white quarters, the white people showed up armed because they didn't want this guy sprung from jail by a group of armed blacks, and that's where all of the uproar came from. But, you know, the death toll is a complete fabrication. What you're hearing and what is being reported by the mainstream media and what is being recited by brainiac president Joe Biden right now is just off the charts false. But nonetheless, that's what we have to deal with nowadays. This is the only way we're going to have the reach that we need to counter this type of stuff is like we were talking about in the last segment. We need to get Russia, we need to get Hungary, we need to get Poland, places like that in Eastern Europe, to report the truth about America. Because the American media is just full of lies now, trying to defame white Americans and trying to whip blacks in America into an inconsolable frenzy so they can start a race war. It's that simple.
Well, and it's working, Keith. I mean, it's working because as the media has fabricated this event that no one had heard about, now it's supposed to be this 100-year anniversary, and it's all the talk, even though for the last 99 years, nobody really knew about it. And now you have black militants, dare I say black terrorists, marching in Tulsa, saying in these exact words, quote, we will kill everything white in sight, end quote. So you have these black insurrectionists marching around in Tulsa who have been ginned up by the lying press and their lackeys like Joe Biden. And that they're marching around threatening violence against whites. This is exactly what they wanted. And it's not that it's too hard to trigger certain elements of our population that have low IQs and poor impulse controls, but boy, they sure did it.
Well, it's also a great way to make money now. You know, don't be under control if you're a black person in America today. Don't be moderate. Don't be a voice for calm and reason. If you can be aggrieved and loud and militant and threaten bloodshed, that's the way to make millions of dollars like the leaders of Black Lives Matter do. There's a great reward at being an inconsolable crazy person, a person suffering from ASPD, antisocial personality disorder. That's the type of thing that can get you in jail. But in the meantime, if you can just refrain from actually acting on your incendiary words and just give those incendiary words, it's a golden path to fame and fortune in America now, to be an aggrieved minority group member.
Well, there's no shortage of them, that's for sure. And so this is what we've got in Tulsa. But the one element of this entire hoax that that really got me was the assertion that during this unpleasantness in Tulsa in 1921, whatever it may have been, that white supremacists banded together to form some sort of a white supremacist air force. And you mentioned this a moment ago. And from these biplanes, they were lighting rags that were doused with turpentine and throwing them out of the planes and able to actually hit their targets and burn down buildings with rags coated in turpentine being lit and then thrown out of a biplane, and they were able to hit targets
cloth and wood airplane. I mean, you know, that would be that would have been Keystone Cops material right there. They would have brought down all their own airplanes and killed all the pilots.
Well, even if they didn't, we got to pause and continue on this one. We'll be right back to do it.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Dance, 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 dance
innovative music that the Beach Boys had, and also some creative titles, too. You just heard earlier tonight, Fun, Fun, Fun. That was Dance, Dance, Dance.
Three words.
Well, it's one word three times. You know, that was why it was so clever, I think. But anyway, thekosherquestion.com, ladies and gentlemen.
I like the comment that Aldous Huxley made. He said, anything too stupid to be said may always be sung.
Hey, but those were good songs. But thekosherquestion.com, be sure to support and check out and support our friends over at The Kosher Question. Shop in your interests for a change, thekosherquestion.com. So we were talking about this blood libel against whites now manifested in this completely fantastical Tulsa massacre narrative. It's sort of like the Hidden Figures stuff. And there was a great where the black secretaries and janitors actually, you know, landed the shuttles and all of that
and whatnot. They were the brains behind the space program.
Well, and Identity Dixie wrote a good article about that this week, why they prefer lives that target.
Big lies, you know, not small lies, but big
well,
lies.
Well, that too, but the purpose of this, the point of this article was that why they tell lies about things historical in nature. And I'll just read a little excerpt from this. Their claim that a white supremacist air wing was deploying incendiary ordnance is physically impossible and completely lacking in credible proof. But because they can say it happened a century ago, it sounds more plausible than saying white terror pilots are training for an operation in August. The average imbecile doesn't waste his time conducting a thought experiment about how he'd light turpentine rags in a moving biplane, accurately strike targets with these rags, and then burn these targets to the ground. Therefore, they feel it's more effective to claim this is why white supremacy is the premier threat to the national security than any threats white supremacists are actually posing now, because, of course, those threats do not exist. They use all these lies at once, but that's why they're making a big deal out of this one, out of Tulsa in 2021. They've had major success with fabricating nonsensical atrocities committed in the past, allegedly committed in the past, and using them as a justification to do bad things to us in the present. So that's really the only way to make sense out of this whole thing. They can't tell these lies about things currently happening because everybody could see that it's not true. But if they lie about things that happened in the 60s or in the 20s, it's a lot more murky.
Well, they continue to lie by omission. They won't tell you about the terror tactics and terror plans and projects that they have going now. But they'll tell you that, oh, you know, biplanes. Yeah, I remember they had biplanes back then. And, you know, they certainly used to drop bombs out of things and whatnot. So that's what we were doing. And then they went a bridge too far and decided to make it turpentine Molotov cocktails. And that's where, you know, plausible deniability ends.
Well, you got even these cucked out people, though. Like, I mean, the Republican Party, there's some good things going on in the grassroots of the GOP. There's good things with people like Paul Gozer. We've been talking about it. We talked about it last week for a couple of hours. But here you have the GOP leader, Kevin McCarthy, saying we all need to have solemn remembrance for the atrocities committed against the blacks in Tulsa. I mean, give me a break.
It's just
If it was true, yes, maybe, but it's not true. And well, nobody's pushing back.
Well, the
about
thing
it.
Is, there's a kernel of truth there. It was actually 35 people, not 300 plus and growing every day. But
well, there were some white casualties, too. I mean, like you said, it was a couple of hot-headed factions, and they mixed it up, and you know that's
well, the thing is,
probably not unprecedented.
Yeah, that's not what they want. They wanted to, you know, have this atrocity that would support this narrative that white people have been killing black people indiscriminately in America for years, and it's time for a reckoning. That's what they want. Now, let's talk about also what's going on in, you know, Black Lives Matter with these tearing down of, you know, monuments, particularly Confederate monuments, but even people like George Washington in Sacagawea, the Indian guide for Lewis and Clark and stuff like that.
I haven't
heard
she got sacked.
Well, I think, they did something in that Christopher Columbus statues. Here's what I suggest to some of the more authentically conservative members of the Tennessee legislature or any other conservative red state legislature. Let's give the left a little bit of their own medicine. Let's make a law that says desecrating, vandalizing, or destroying a historical monument is punishable by the same punishment that the left has concocted for burning down a church. And if we saw these people that were doing all of this going to jail for 10 years plus, like they would if they had burned down a church, you might put a stop to some of these things. But what we have in America now is absolute refutation about the power of peaceful protest. Imagine what would have happened if the demonstrators at Selma or in Birmingham or in Memphis had suffered the same consequences that have befallen the poor people that happened to show up at Washington, D.C. on January the 6th. Even Vladimir Putin is going to castigate Joe Biden about this when they start talking about human rights violations or crimes against humanity by Russia or with China. They're loaded for bear, and they're coming after us. And believe me, this is going to work. See, that was a big excuse back in the civil rights movement about ending segregation. They said, this is hurting us in our foreign policy. Now, all these, it's helping the communists because they can point to our segregated society as a betrayal of our principles. Well, guess what? What they're doing to white protesters and white advocates in America today is every bit as much and more of a violation of our principles than what was happening in the 50s and 60s regarding civil rights. But, of course, they really don't care. All of that was just an excuse to do what they wanted to do. It was something that was already cooked. That was why Jimmy Burns was passed over as Roosevelt's vice president in 1944, and instead Harry Truman was selected. Jewish Power and Influence wanted Harry Truman because he was a racial integrationist and Burns was a racial segregationist. See, all of these things, if you check it back, you'll find all the footprints go to the same camp, and that's what's happening here today as well.
All right, folks, quick momentary departure for yet another announcement before we come to the end of this hour and then transition into the second and third hours, which, again, will be taking you live to Pensacola, Florida, where Eddie the Bombardier Miller is on the scene at a reunion of the survivors of the USS Liberty. You're going to be hearing directly from those sailors who were attacked by Israel on June the 8th, 1967, and we're going to hear their stories.
Why don't we hear about this like we hear about the Tulsa so-called massacre?
Yeah, this because this one actually happened, I guess. But anyway,
and I think there are a lot more deaths here, plus an attack on a United States military vessel. Of course, that fades into insignificance.
I got the number. I got the number, Keith. It was 34 killed, 172 injured. Very quickly before we run out of time, got to remind you, we want to be here come fall. We're going to have fun this summer, but we also want to be here when the fall comes. So to that end, we have to remind you that TPC's second quarter fundraising drive officially kicked off last week. Now, of course, due to censorship and deplatforming, we cannot process credit card contributions any longer. You know that. So to support our work, you're going to have to get out a pen and paper or a pen and a check and put that pen to the check and snail mail it in to us. If you are one of our regular donors, you will have received by now, I think, depending on how the USPS is running this week, but you should have received our second quarter newsletter, and there is a return envelope in there. I think you know what to do with that. And if you contribute at a level that triggers the incentive gift, those of you will receive a copy of Mark Collett's incredible book, The Fall of Western Man. This is an important one. We're going to have a DVD offer coming up in the fall. I know we send out a lot of books, but these are great books, and this one is essential, I think. You're really going to want to have this one. It details the West's fall from grace and explains how we can fight back and reclaim our birthright. It's a must-have book, in my opinion. It's going to take you on a journey of discovery through each of the following suspects: understanding the mind, the effects of feminism, the destruction of the family, bad role models, self-hatred, white guilt, but most importantly, the redemption of Western man. So please, ladies and gentlemen, contribute to our second quarter fundraising drive. It can only be done via check now if you want to send us a love offering. But if you do, we've got a great gift for you, and I can't wait to get those into the mail. We're going to have Mark Collett back this month to talk more about the book. We were going to have him tonight before the opportunity to have this summit with the Liberty survivors came about. We'll have Mark on either next week or the week after, talk a little bit more about the book. But anyway, it is in your snail mailbox. It should be. I think my wife, God bless her, she spent about 12 hours over the weekend stuffing and stamping and addressing these things and sending them off to the post office. She helps me in everything that I do, and without her, there would not be a show. She does a lot of that menial labor, helps me with it anyway. So when you receive your letter, know that her hand was on it, and that's how we do things around here. So we're all part of the family, and all the family chips in.
It's a family affair. It's a family affair.
As they say in church, and all God's children said, amen. So, all right. So check your mailbox, and we would really appreciate your support. Can't do it without you. I mean, God knows. We're listener supported. No Coca-Cola money here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be in Pensacola, Florida. Eddie the Bombardier Miller and survivors of the USS Liberty. Stay tuned.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.